Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto-World Football Show. I am Matt Straub. It is Thursday, September 1st. We have apparently 1 week to go until the season opening kickoff, the Bills and the Rams on NBC. And today we are going to be attempting to build a perfect, or our best attempt at perfect fantasy roster. We're going to be going round by round, putting together a potentially realistic roster based on Yahoo ADPs. I'm joined by Lawrence Jackson, Pat Crane, Pat Daugherty, who, as I understand it, was at an actual live fantasy football draft last evening. Pat, who were we drafting with yesterday? Are these the people from your rec league softball team?
My brother-in-law is on my rec league softball team, and we co-manage the team we were drafting last night.
Wow.
With a group of former accountants. He worked for the Deloitte Corporation fresh out of college for like 20 months, and then obviously got out of there. But he managed to get into a really, really fun fantasy football league in 2009, and we have been drafting ever since.
And how did that go?
Went well. I mean, I've got I feel like my voice is a little froggy today after having a few watery domestic beers last night, but they're AB products, locally made, so they were good.
Lawrence and Karain, do you guys do many actual live in-person drafts these days? I feel like it's maybe an increasingly rare occurrence.
I got one tonight. I got one tomorrow night. Just with dudes I know from around the way. So yeah, we all about that life, man.
I'm actually at one right now. Sorry, Pat.
I'll be in Vegas drafting this year. So
that's not the same thing though. You're doing like high stakes teams. You do any drafts with the boys?
Live drafts don't count if there's too much money at stake.
No,
you got that bougie fantasy draft out there, huh?
Do you have any in person drafts with like college or high school or accountant?
I don't. Matt? Yeah, I'm doing an auction, a casual type league. But that's not in person, unfortunately. So, but the high stakes scene is changing a little bit. It's getting a lot more wide receiver heavy. So I was actually thinking I should get in some more home leagues. If you got a home league that needs a guy.
By the way, Lawrence, I saw on Twitter recently, Lawrence, it appears you were in a draft where T.Y. Hilton got drafted. Is that
Oh, man.
Lawrence, if you guys are looking for someone, let me know.
Early.
Oh, man. Early. I still can't get over it. And the dudes that I drafted with in that league, shout out to them dudes, the Rutherford Fantasy Football League in New Jersey.
Love it.
A lot of them dudes not on Twitter, but, once I posted that in hundreds of people was commenting, like, I put the link so everybody in the league could see it. And I had another draft with them same dudes the next day, and all we was talking about was the comments that people had from taking T.Y. Hilton in the sixth round. T.Y. Hilton at all, let alone the sixth round. And it's what's incredible. Funny is a lot of people in the comments couldn't even see that first. They saw Hollywood Brown going to second, and they was like, oh, I thought that's what you was talking about. Like, nah, T.Y. Hilton, who still to this day ain't on no team. So, we'll see.
Real quick, let me defend my T.Y. Hilton pick real quick here, guys.
No, it wasn't me.
I do have a lot of Will Fuller, so I won't throw the first guy here.
Different vibes, though. I'm sure you got him in your last pick, next to last pick. My man, my man wouldn't go in the sixth round if he was on a team right now.
That's very true.
Lawrence, real quick, what did you say the league was called? The Rutherford? I like your league name.
Rutherford Fantasy Football League. It's in Rutherford, New Jersey, which is about 5-10 minutes away from MetLife Stadium, where the two best teams in the league, the Jets and the Giants, play their football at. So, yeah.
When I heard your league name, it made me think of my league name, and I had never heard the story. I mean, the league I was drafted in last night was the Wayne Corbett Memorial League. And it was apparently called this because there was a precursor league to this league that fell apart over an argument somehow over Wayne Corbett. And these were all people who worked at Deloitte. And the guy I was telling the story last night is like, I can't remember. I wish I remember the details of the actual story. But apparently there was a shouting match and like someone got they challenged each other to a fight, and they said like careers were altered and like careers were stalled, and that there was a fantasy football argument involving Wayne Kermet. Apparently really, really shook up the St. Louis Deloitte office.
That's some serious stuff.
So the memorial is to the previous league, not to...
Yes, exactly.
These guys are just sending like angry faxes back and forth to each other.
Exactly. So lives were forever changed by whatever went down with Wayne Kermet.
This had to have been 1998 then.
It was like 98, 99. Yeah, it was around then.
1,083 yards, 8 touchdowns, 75 catches.
Our researchers are on it.
All right. So the task at hand today, just setting this up, we're going to attempt to build the best fantasy roster we can based on Yahoo average draft position. And we're going to be picking out of the 10 spot in a 12-team league, which we have decided is one of the worst spots to potentially pick from. This is going to be a one-quarterback setup. So Pat, Lawrence, Corain, you guys are going to alternate picks here. That means, Lawrence, you are going to be up first at 10th overall. Anyone have anything they want to add here in terms of what we're doing before we get going?
Are we doing PPR?
We're doing PPR. We're doing PPR. That's the official Roto-World format we use now. So we're doing PPR.
When I think rankings and I think drafts and all that, I think PPR.
Me too.
All right, so we're going to go 15 rounds here in what is, again, a 12-team league, one quarterback. Lawrence, you are going to be up first with pick number 10. And, you know, Corain, Pat, everyone, you guys can consult with each other. We are building a team together here. It's not every man for himself. It's one roster.
Yeah, definitely. So when I'm picking at 10 with two other sharp minds here, I want to make sure that we all love, especially the first pick of the draft, because, you know, that's very important here. So we're at 10 here, and I'm looking at a couple of guys here. I see Stephon Diggs and Davante Adams, who's got an ADP of over – both of them have ADPs of 11 and 13.9 here. I'm going to go being that, you know, Josh Allen is the consensus number one quarterback, I will go Stephon Diggs here and look for him to have, you know, the type of – bounce back that he had with his first year with Josh Allen. So I think getting him at 10 is definitely a nice little target to have here. Because, I mean, I feel like the running backs will go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, no. Finish your thought.
Yeah, no. So if people are going running back heavy here with running backs that catch the ball, you figure Najee Harris will go. Even though Derrick Henry's being slept on, he's still getting picked within those first 10 picks. And then Jamar Chase will go before. So it really ends up between Davante Adams and Stephon Diggs. And for this draft's sake, I'm going to go Stephon Diggs here.
Along those lines, like you said, he has an ADP of 11.7. You guys have, you know, you guys as the drafters can jump down a couple spots. We're going to try to avoid going up in terms of ADP, but you don't have to take the guy who's right at that ADP that we have, which in this case would have been Najee Harris at 9.8. Lawrence went down a couple spots to take Diggs.
Well, my first question is, did Jamar Chase fall in this draft?
That's a big question.
Definitely not. So, Corain, I think bringing it down to Diggs or Davante is pretty good, but we were talking about before Gabriel Davis kind of a value on Yahoo.
That's the part. Teamwork makes the dream work.
And where are you at on Diggs versus Adams in general? Because lately I had a late break towards feeling I always had Adams ranked ahead of Diggs, but where I started to feel very strongly about that. What are your thoughts on Adams versus Diggs, Pat?
I've been struggling. I mean, I have been Diggs, but I know what you're saying about the Gabe Davis stuff. I'm still hyped about Gabe Davis, and that's probably one of the things coming from best ball, where the more you think about in season long, you're going to have to put both these guys in your starting lineup every week. That's maybe not as fun as putting Adams and Gabe Davis if you're really set on getting Gabe Davis. So if we are set on getting Gabe Davis, I'm fine with Adams here if Lawrence is. But I also think this is, to Lawrence's point, the number one quarterback. And if you have both of his top two weapons, and I think those are very likely to be his top two weapons, I also think that's totally fine. I mean, you can stack in season long. It's not just a best ball thing. You bet on the Bills to roll this year, and there's a very good chance they do. Your team's going to be great.
Yeah, the main reason I don't stack in season long is purely for fun purposes, not any strategic purposes at all. It's like purely for fun.
Yeah, no, I actually personally have Davante Adams one rank higher than Stephon Diggs, but since I have him so close, I was like, "Yeah, we'll switch it up." But I'm feeling like the temperature in this room is on Davante Adams, so I have no problem with going Davante Adams.
Well, Crane, you break the tie because I just feel more confident in Devontae's like massive target share. Or I just been wondering if we saw like any signs of maybe actual decline with Steph Diggs. I see that just seems kind of silly, but I do think the Gabriel Davis phenomenon is very, and just beyond wanting Gabe Davis in the league, wondering like he might cut in to like a significant degree. Whereas I feel like the Raiders are gonna be in warpath mode with Davante Adams. Like, want to prove this was a smart thing to do. They want to prove they have the chemistry, and it like you're like splitting hairs. But I just feel ever so slightly inclined towards Devontae.
Did you guys see that interview that Davante Adams gave on his route running?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Which, with the pivot.
Yeah, yeah. That's
That'll make you feel like you have Davante Adams ranked too low. I wouldn't recommend checking that out if you're
there's no need to break the tie because we're going Davante Adams.
All right, we're going Davante.
Wow. A late pivot.
I feel 100% great about taking Davante Adams at number 10. I got no problem with that.
All right.
Wow. Okay. Whoa. So we have a right before the 8-minute clock expired, Lawrence got the pick in. It's Davante Adams at number 10. And by the way, speaking of Stephon Diggs, I'm told that he will be on the Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry on Friday. So look out for that.
Where you can be asked about being passed up by us. And you can also ask Stephon Diggs quote tweeted me earlier this offseason where, like, I forget what my exact tweet was, but it was something about Steph having a down season last year. And I was getting buried in the mentions, like buried, down season, 1,200 yards, quite a down season. But then Steph Diggs, like, matter-of-factly weighed in. It's like, I had a down season last year.
That's incredible.
He was clearly angry about his season and trying to use it as, like, motivation. He was basically, yeah, the man is right. I had a down season.
He's got your picture up on that locker room.
Well, I don't think he was basically just like, yeah, the guy's right. And I don't even think he was using me for motivation.
All right. Amazing. That's amazing. We're going to Karain at number 15 now with our second pick here. We have Davante Adams. I was all ready to have Stephon Diggs on the roster, so I'm readjusting. But Karain, you're up now.
I'm going to go DeAndre Swift, who, you know, when you, Lawrence, were talking about going with Diggs or Adams, I was pretty happy. I mean, I know you guys know I like wide receivers, but I also think if you're trying to figure out, like, okay, the 10 spot's not a great spot to be in, and you're taking, I think, a player that, if you're looking at running back and wide receiver, is clearly a tier break, maybe two tiers below the guys that the top of the draft is getting, right? Like, you go to any of the running backs, they're not in the CMC, JT tier. I don't even think they're kind of in the Eckler tier. The wide receivers are not Justin Jefferson and Cooper Kupp. They're not even Jamar Chase. So how to play that, I think, is which tier is bigger that you're now going to get two players from. And I think the running back tier that you're looking at extends like all the way to the end of the second round, where the wide receivers, you know, you get one of Davante Adams or Diggs. I think those guys are probably in a class above CeeDee Lamb. So it makes sense to get one of those guys, and then you got your pick of the running backs. For me, it would be DeAndre Swift. Just looking at his receptions from last season, I had forgotten that he had had this shoulder injury in week 10, and you see, oh, yeah, they were managing him down the stretch. He had 4 receptions in every game prior to week 10. He is behind what could be an elite offensive line. I think he basically just, I mean, to be honest, he almost needs to just, like, do what he did last year at the beginning of the year and then stay healthy, because he's such a dynamic receiver and he's clearly the guy they want as the primary receiving back. But also, if he just captures a little bit more of the rushing workload, he can be an absolute smash. I think he can potentially have one of these legendary seasons where he, you know, hits like 23 points per game, wins you the league at this ADP. I pair him with an elite wide receiver. If you get that from Adams or Diggs, I think you're cooking.
So 17.6 the Swift ADP, so slightly below the 15, but well within
my canned
reason.
DeAndre Swift line this year is that he's just like an Austin Eckler season waiting to happen, basically.
Yeah.
And I have him as my RB1 on a scary amount of teams. So really need him to stay healthy. Jamal Williams, really need you to continue gently declining, even though you seem to be a peach of a human, and we all love you. We're all rooting for DeAndre. Sorry, Jamal.
Yeah, man. You know, 90 catches definitely in the realm of possibility of a player like DeAndre Swift. The other players I was thinking about is Saquon Barkley and Alvin Kamara. I have Swift slightly higher than both of those. And like you, Pat, some teams he's my RB1 and some he's my RB2, depending on, like, if I went running back in the first round, there's no way I wasn't taking him the second round if he's still there, even if I had planned on going receiver, because I love that reception upside. And we are in the world of PPR, definitely in this draft right here. So let's ride with Swift, baby.
I think all right, so, the Saquon, yeah, well, Saquon would make a lot of sense too. And, you know, he's a guy that I can also see having an incredible season. I think Swift maybe gives you like a few more additional paths to a really, really strong season, where Saquon's like, it's kind of like the volume just flows through him, but the line's not very good. We don't think the offense is going to be very good. Like, there are also paths to it just kind of imploding. Saquon's also not been quite as efficient as he was early in his career. So I think, like, Saquon totally in play here, but that's why I prefer Swift.
And Saquon ADP on Yahoo, 18.6, for what that's worth. Kamara, 19.6. So that was pick 15. Pat Doherty now drinks a watery domestic beer or two, waits a bunch of picks. We wait. We're at pick 34, third round. Pat, what are you going to do? We've got a wide receiver and a running back so far.
Yeah, I just inhaled two Bud Selects. But my blood alcohol level is still 0.01 after having six of them. So we're in the third round now. And we just missed Michael Pittman, the kind of right around the 34 range is A.J. Brown, but he just went. We're saying Patrick Mahomes, we're not going to take, because obviously we're devotees of late round quarterback. I mean, not necessarily. I'm not hard
not
and fast
third,
on that
not
this
in
year.
The third.
Not in the third. The fifth and sixth round this year, I've done it occasionally. But then it gets interesting with Kyle Pitts, and there's Justin Herbert's there, D.J. Moore, Cam Akers, Elijah Mitchell. I'm still vaguely intrigued by Cam Akers, but I immediately zero in on DJ Moore, who I've just been getting as my wide receiver two on so many teams. Because speaking of Steph Diggs, I still just keep thinking DJ Moore, he's like the Steph Diggs clone. He finally has slightly better quarterback play, and I zero in. I'm going to throw to my teammates, but I'm either thinking DJ Moore, who I love, is my wide receiver two, or Kyle Pitts, if we're just going like for over the moon upside.
It's only one answer for me right here, and that's Kyle Pitts. I want that last year of being able to get him in the third round before he, you know, gets that Travis Kelce price for the next 8 years. Last year he had an ADP of fifth round. That's now the third round, and this is a guy who only scored a touchdown last year, and he's already went up two rounds within in his first rookie year.
Well, you know what, we could take Kyle Pitts and then gamble DJ Moore falls to 39. His ADP is 38.7. So you round it up, it's the 39.
That's very much a possibility, too. It just depending on who you're drafting.
Play the ADP
with.
Game here?
so think about risky. So let's say you did want both of them, right? Usually when you want two players on the quick turn, it usually never happens. But right. If we did want it, we wouldn't take DJ Moore first. And the crazy thing about it is, Pat, everything you saying is 100% true. You get the upgrade at quarterback. He has been quietly consistent the past two seasons. Like, you cannot deny him and his skill. So it's nothing against him. It's just that that young man out there in Atlanta, the only glowing thing going on down there in Atlanta, is just stare. Like, I literally try to take him in the third round in every draft I can. And when I don't get Kyle Pitts in the third round, I quit the draft and give up.
So, Crane, it's my pick, but I want you to break the tie on Pitts versus DJ Moore. If we're going to gamble, the DJ Moore is going to fall to Lawrence at 39.
I love DJ Moore, but I'm with Lawrence here. I think you get the guy who's about to break out as a star wide receiver in the league who you can play at tight end. And then you try to get DJ Moore on the wrap.
All right, Matt, we just selected Kyle Pitts.
I close my eyes to go to sleep at night, and I see that catch against the Jets, that preseason catch. I just see that route. I just see the route, actually. I don't even see the catch. Man. Yeah,
just the route.
Kyle Pitts, you've made me a happy Falcons fan here. Only thing I have to be happy about. So Kyle Pitts at 34. Now we wait, and this is the stressful part. Will we get DJ Moore coming back? We have pick 39. Lawrence is making this pick. DJ Moore with a Yahoo ADP of 38.7. I mean, I think it's,
you
it's
round
within
that
reason. We said we're not jumping up, but 0.3 is really not a jump up. That's basically right on his ADP. So like you said, Lawrence, in a real draft, it's probably not going to happen because it never happens like we want it to. But
I actually take that back because you might be in a league where somebody take T.Y. Hilton right here. So if that happened, that bumps back DJ Moore. We get him. Look, if Very this is true. The one time – we get to cheat a little bit. And like you said, the ADP is real close. Things happen. And it's a lot of good players that I'm looking at here that will be getting. Somebody's going to take, you know, Josh Allen is gone. I could see Justin Herbert going right here. We got DeAndre Swift. So, you know, we're not too much stressing about a running back right now. We get to put DJ Moore as our wide receiver too. After Devontae Adams in a PPR league, I'm going to be feeling great about that. I'm going to be feeling, because you got Pitts, right? DeAndre Swift, 80-something catches right there. And then, yeah, man, let's go with it, baby.
Lock it in. He fell. Someone took Breece Hall or something, so he fell.
So I was in a draft yesterday.
They let us have DJ Moore than you.
Breece Hall went in the fourth round. He still went in the fourth round, so – you know,
they blew it. So, all right,
let me tell you something about DJ Moore. Since 2018, his rookie season, if you look at EPA per play, EPA per dropback, excuse me, the Panthers rank 28th. Only the Giants, the Jaguars, Washington, and the Jets have been less efficient through the air. I mean, this guy has been efficient basically his entire career. Mm-hmm. He's been productive, and he's in a horrific. Is it the scenario that they put him in is just terrible. So if we get Baker Mayfield playing competent football, we could have a really big season from DJ Moore.
By the way, incredibly consistent too. The last 3 years, 87 catches, 66 catches, 93 catches, between basically 1,100 plus yards each year, exactly 4 touchdowns each year. If somehow you just need the touchdowns to like – him be a little more lucky in terms of touchdowns, right? I mean, if he had 7 touchdowns last year versus 4, he's going much earlier than 39th, probably.
He'll get 4 touchdowns again. He seems to have settled in on that number. But we'll take that.
We can weather the 4 scores. Yeah, we can weather the 4 scores.
Just get closer to those 87 catches than those 66.
And yeah.
That's all we need.
Yeah. Yeah, and be competent enough on offense that you can actually have – okay passing volume as well, you know.
All right, that was pick 39. Now it's Corain at pick 58.
All right, different. So 58, we probably need another receiver here.
Or I mean, we could, it's a home league, the receivers are gonna fall a little bit, Pat. Running backs don't fall.
I like how he just switched it to a home league just last.
I think even in a home league, you want to go receiver. I think you could maybe go quarterback.
I was going to say, but you could maybe go Kyler or Jalen Hurts. The running backs are not looking appealing. It's like J.K. Dobbins, who the mystery deepens. A.J. Dillon, like, do I really want someone, a team's number two running back, to be our number two running back? Gibby, whose ADP will keep falling. So I think, Crane, you diagnosed it right that it's quarterback or receiver, probably receiver.
So there's several guys who kind of go on the 4-5 turn here in more like high-stakes leagues and best ball leagues and stuff. And if you can get them at the end of the fifth, I think one of Jerry Jeudy, Juju Smith-Schuster, Amon-Ra St. Brown would all be pretty interesting here. I lean Jerry Jeudy. Where are you guys at on that?
Juju is where my ears really perked up. And kind of Amon-Ra, where been having a crisis of confidence with Amon-Ra lately. Like what this guy did in like a really adverse situation. So like kind of like we're kind of writing off Amon-Ra St. Brown in some ways because he was the only target. So of course he got all these targets and of course he got all those receptions. But it's also like not typical for a fourth round rookie to make themselves the only target, you know, and be the guy that like steps into that void. And maybe he's just a really, really, really good player. And we're kind of like underselling how special it is what he did down the stretch last year in really bad circumstances. But I think Juju Smith-Schuster seems to be clearly the number one wide receiver, maybe even the number one target over Travis Kelce, depending on how Travis Kelce ages this year, for the still what I would say the best quarterback on the planet in Patrick Mahomes. And I've been taking a lot of Juju, and I would feel good about Juju here in the fifth round.
Dude, this one is tough right here. Probably the toughest one yet. I didn't know you was a Judy guy, Kareem. As am I. Juju has warmed up. You know, we've all warmed up to Juju as the offseason is progressing. And we should for what Pat just said. He's going to be that dude that, you know, he going to get it going in the slot there. It's when you look at it on paper, he looks like the clear option at the receiver spot. He's certainly the most proven. Who else you say? Amon-Ra St. Brown. Yeah, man, this is, ooh, it's tough.
So let me show you guys a little bit on Judy, because I think with the Juju stuff, I know it's a more exciting quarterback and Patrick Mahomes, but still pretty good quarterback and Russell Wilson. Yes.
Well, let me sideline you there where I'll go down narrative street where it just seems like people are like they're acting like Russell Wilson and Jerry Jeudy can't get on the same page, even after Tim Patrick was injured, Crane. So sorry to continue your spiel.
Yeah, and the reports out of Chiefs training camp are that they expect Juju will be the number one wide receiver. He was dealing with this knee thing. He's also been, maybe this doesn't matter, but absolutely terrible for like three straight seasons.
That's fine. That's not a big deal.
That's not generally good.
That's not a big deal.
So I get a little bit nervous with Juju where I'm underweight in best ball, and I'm kind of happy about that. I'm a little overweight in my high stakes leagues, also happy about that because it feels very like he's the kind of guy that I want to be able to move on from, or I want to be able to find out, you know, like if he's going to massively hit, which I think he can, great. But I also do worry about what does his role look like down the stretch, you know, if Sky Moore comes on and, you know, like Juju's not exactly delivering efficiently, then, you know, he could be in trouble. So I agree he's got that role to start the year, but I don't know about to close the year. What interests me about Judy is that, you know, again, similar dynamic where he's getting a massive quarterback upgrade, but he's also been in pretty bad situations his first 2 years. Yes. He was in his first year, he had an 8 out of 14.6. He played 66% of his snaps out wide. That's not really what we expected from Jerry Jeudy. He was kind of this, you know, pristine route runner who gets open mm-hmm. with ease. Not necessarily a deep threat, but they needed him to be that because Cortland Sutton tore his ACL. So he is that, and he's not terrible. He wasn't great, but 1.66 yards per out run as a rookie, that's respectable. Then last year, he deals with an ankle injury the whole season. He still had 1.85 yards per out run, which is pretty good. So if we get a healthy season from Judy playing in position with Russell Wilson, I do think there's a lot of upside.
Well, I've loved Jerry Jeudy at first when Russell Wilson first went there because he's kind of, tell me if I'm pronouncing this word correctly, he's kind of a good facsimile of Tyler Lockett, I thought, was like a guy who spends a lot of time in the slot, but actually did kind of have a profile as a big play threat, at least coming out of Alabama, not so far in the NFL. Injuries and quarterback play have surely had a part in that. But I did think he like profiled like somewhat interestingly as like a Tyler Lockett type. So it's been interesting to me that the reports have just been like very negative. I don't, it's weird. They're not even so much negative as they are mysterious. Remember Crane, we were hearing.
But what, Sutton getting like a 35% target share? Like, there's no
he did,
else.
Or he did early in his career. But
I tell you what,
it's pretty good.
If we've Jerry also now had a facsimile and a fax machine reference on the same episode. I just wanted to note that. But carry on, Lawrence.
If Jerry Jeudy this summer got caught on camera, like out somewhere at a barbecue with Russell Wilson, that's who we would be drafting right now at wide receiver 15. They're I'm like, actually, oh man, yeah. They got that chemistry. They hanging out yeah. together. I don't Prayer think Russell Wilson be at them type of barbecues like that. But if they was yeah. and it was Jerry Jeudy, like if Jerry Jeudy brought Russell Wilson down to South Florida to kick it, you know what I'm saying? You know, he brings Sierra with him, and they kicking it at the barbecue with Lamar Jackson, and they see that on social media. They're like, oh, you see that connection? And that's how we would, you know, that, so – but like you said,
I legit think that if something like that surfaced, his ADP would jump by like
100%. 100%. So I'm gonna for right now, I'm gonna even though it's hard to do because we know how good Amon-Ra St. Brown is, just because of the quarterback and in the team, I'm gonna take them off to make it easier for myself here. Now we got Jeudy and Juju. All right, yeah.
Break the tie.
The clock's almost winding down. Being typical me, though, I have to make a quip real quick. Russell Wilson's never had a domestic beer in his entire life. But
Jerry
now,
Jeudy it is.
Jerry Jeudy, exactly. I was going to say, you guys, I've always loved him, and you guys were both partisan to him, so we just took Jerry Jeudy.
Corrine, I think it is actually technically your pick. Are you good with that?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's who I wanted. Yeah.
Okay, Jeudy. So Jeudy at 58 to us with a Yahoo ADP of 65.4. We have 5 picks down, 10 more to make. We're going to speed up as we move forward. First, we're going to take a quick break. Prep for your draft with the latest player rankings, projections, and more in the NBC Sports Edge Fantasy Football Draft Guide. Plus, it is powered by RotoWorld, the premier source for player news and fantasy information. Take advantage of our preseason special and get the draft guide for $5 when you use the promo code DRAFTGUIDE at checkout on NBCSportsEdge.com/draftguide. Also, don't forget to check out Matthew Berry's new show, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, with Matthew Berry. The legendary fantasy football analyst is back with NBC and RotoWorld doing what he does best, discussing sleepers to draft, rolling out his love-hate list, breaking down who to start and sit, and more. There will also be plenty of actionable information along the way for you sports bettors as well. Check it out weekdays at noon on Peacock, or listen to the show in podcast form wherever you download and subscribe. Okay, we've all had a domestic beer during that ad read. Pat Daugherty back on the clock at number 63. I mean, I'm just going to say it. Amon-Ra St. Brown's ADP is 71. Juju Smith-Schuster's is 65-something. I mean, both of those guys are incredibly still available here if you decide to go that route.
Juju is still available, but we just took a high target guy, or at least what we want to be, a high targets guy, and Jerry Jeudy. I think it's time. We do need a second running back. But we got to get like that shoot from the moon upside. We can't believe he's fallen this far. We're going to take Gabriel Davis, whose ADP on Yahoo is 2 spots ahead of the Bills defense. So things are getting hot as part of the draft board. And that's home league drafting for you. It just really is.
Let's talk it through. Do we want to
without
take
no without even talking here. It through? I picked Gabriel.
Bills defense might fall. Let's see if they fall. Okay.
I
was going to say defense, but
Gabe Davis. We have 4 wide receivers now. Obviously,
we do.
We can flex one of these guys. So no worries there.
Well, maybe this is a
3
flex
or 4.
League.
I think we have 3.
No, we're up to 4, Corrine.
We snuck in.
Did we take
Pitts?
I forgot about DJ Moore.
Yep. DJ Moore, Jeudy, 4. Gabe Davis. We're up to 4.
We got Devontae Adams, DJ Moore, Jerry Jeudy, Gabriel Davis. I mean, we are stacking PPR points.
Let's go.
All right. T.Y. Hilton and a bunch of – well, T.Y. Hilton was already gone, but some other guys just got drafted. Lawrence is now on the clock for the squad at pick number 82.
Nah, it's tough because we still only got 1 running back, and I'm looking at the guys right here. Ooh,
there's some good receivers here.
Right. I will say there's 2 running backs that stick out to me. I'll see if Lawrence.
Well. I actually see 3. I see Rashad Penny, Ramondre Stevenson. Well, Chase Edmonds is at 80 ADP right now. Swerving. I'm not looking at Miles Sanders right here. I think I'd be Devin Singletary is who I would look at actually after Rashad Penny and Ramondre Stevenson. Ramondre Stevenson, actually, what round are we in? 7 or 8?
7.
Seven. Yeah.
Here's the thing, Lawrence. We're at 82. Ramondre's ADP is 91. I think he's going to fall to 87 is what's happening with Ramondre.
And Marquise Brown and Rashad Bateman are here, I'm just saying.
They are.
I'm a Rashad Bateman guy. If y'all say, hey, let's go another receiver, I'm smashing Rashad Bateman.
I think we do it. I mean, we can always get running backs later.
I will say I would actually strongly consider Miles Sanders or even Rashad Penny. Rashad Penny, it could be like kind of a frustrating season long, like true season long investment, but like Rashad Penny, I feel like could be stealing matchups for like the first four or five games of the season. He was the best, quite literally the best running back in the NFL down the stretch last season. And Pete Carroll's acting like Kenneth Walker is like never going to walk again, even though he just has a hernia. I'm not really sure what's going on there. I do think Rashad Penny is going to be like explosively valuable early in the season.
He right at 87 too.
Karain looks like he just died inside while you're talking about Rashad Penny.
We could do Bateman,
I saw his soul leave his body.
His former Roto-Worlder Rich Rebar recently said on a podcast, RB2s are the most replaceable thing in fantasy football.
They are. It is true. Which is why I think we could wait for
Rashad Bateman.
Bateman it is.
Rashad Bateman, pick 82. Lawrence is celebrating. He's excited. His ADP is 84.7 on Yahoo. We get him at 82, and now it is Karain at 87. We have taken five. So we've got five receivers out of our first seven picks here, four in a row. What's the plan here, Karain?
I think I think at this point, just forget about it.
Yeah, at this point, we probably just want to make sure that we have enough firepower at receiver. I do think we should probably take a running back now. And to me, I do lean Stevenson over Penny. We did talk about this being a PPR league. This is, you know, we still got to win our playoffs in this home league. So the end of the year does matter. When you look at Penny's end of the year, Ken Walker is going to be healthy by the end of the season. At that point, I think it will be a split two-down role for those guys. Travis Homer and DJ Dallas aren't going away on third downs. And so while I like Penny as someone who can help get you off to a fast start, I think Stevenson is a guy that you can have as your running back too the whole way. And maybe you got the issue with Ty Montgomery coming back and stealing some of those passing downs, but the word is that they're going to kind of evaluate how Ramondre does as a receiver as kind of in the big James White role. And, I mean, he was awesome in college as a receiver, and he was really good last year. RB8 in yards per route run last year. I mean, the dude, he can move. He can get up to speed quickly. He's kind of got that like Leonard Fournette rumble thing going, but he's actually a little bit more efficient. You know, it's kind of like a Najee Harris, but in a committee. You know, I think that's kind of a way you can kind of think about him. Now, Damon Harris is going to get his, and he's a great breakaway runner, and I do not think that Ramondre will displace him, but this was a very valuable backfield last year where getting the guy who catches passes, and I think we'll have some of the goal line work, is still going to be really valuable.
And I will say, just kind of an interesting thing, phenomenon I observe sometimes in these season-long leagues where is like there's like an overemphasis on like planning for later in the season. So like I see people taking DeAndre Hopkins, you know, with the idea being like he's going to be a great mid-season reinforcement for me. He's going to be great in the playoffs. But like in order for him to help you in the playoffs, you do have to make the playoffs. And it's much harder to make the playoffs in a managed league where you've just got a dead roster spot, you know, for 6 or 7 weeks. And so sometimes I do think, not that you shouldn't do long-term planning, of course, but sometimes like picks like Rashad Penny, like I'm fine just like worrying about the first four because things change so quickly that like it's kind of like absurd even me trying to like think ahead to like November. And like,
but Stevenson gives you a little bit of that Penny juice because
yeah, that's true.
He's
love
coming out of the gate with Ty Montgomery hurt.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I just like Ramondre Stevenson and Rashad Penny's injury history. And like what he did last year was also with Russell Wilson under center occupying terrifying defenses. They seem to really help each other, by the way. Russell Wilson didn't get on track until Rashad Penny got on track, which was kind of an undertold storyline, I felt like. But I'm all about
not
Ramondre
in the Carroll
Stevenson
household.
Yeah, no. I'm all about Ramondre Stevenson
here. No Damian Pierce in this convo, huh?
He's fallen. Yeah. He's fallen, man.
All right. Willis Ryan with Stevenson.
This is legitimately our last chance to get Damian Pierce, though, I will say. We're still good with Ramondre, though.
We're getting Ramondre.
All right. We're getting Ramondre. Ramondre with the penny juice.
Receptions rule everything around me.
All right, so we now have – I'm just going to reset the team real quick before pick 106 to you, Pat. Devontae Adams, DeAndre Swift, Kyle Pitts, DJ Moore, Jerry Jeudy, Gabe Davis, Rashad Bateman, Ramondre Stevenson. It's now to pick 106 in the – what round is this, 8?
I don't know.
9? I can't count. 9. Round 9.
9.
Patrick Daugherty will be picking at selection 106.
It is round 9. Colts defense is looking really attractive. I'm sorry, I won't make any more defense jokes, but man, defenses are going kind of early out there, home leaguers. I would maybe rethink that. I would just maybe rethink that. 109. I mean, nothing is really sticking out. Is Matt Gay?
Daniel Carlson.
Yeah. No, I mean, Ken Walker's here. Christian Kirk was the first one I really wanted to take, Kirk. But we're pretty heavy at receiver. But
this Christian, is an active trading home league, by the way, Pat.
Christian Kirk, deal. Even Tyler Lockett looks attracted to me in that AP. James Cook. This is the first one where I'm kind of like the clock's winding down, and I'm already beginning to feel like kind of a panic pick. And I'm wondering if any of my teammates have any strong feelings. I mean, Derek Carr, apparently we've really slept on quarterback. We're down to Derek Carr. Wait, Kirk Cousins already.
How late?
Kirk Cousins might fall to the next round. That's all I'm going to say.
I think you want someone with some rushing upside, really in every type of league. So I would just point out that Justin Fields has an ADP slightly ahead of my pick in the 11th. So, you know, someone to consider with one of these next two picks.
Yeah, well, I think we'll be doing that. Are we taking another receiver? Or because we just basically forcing a running back pick. I don't want James Cook, just to be totally frank. The closest guy by ADP.
I kind of like Kirk here personally, but
I kind of wanted Christian Kirk too. But will the users be taking up pitchforks against us if we take another receiver?
Well, I think if you're in a situation like this and you do take a receiver, it should be a really big swing because you already have four receivers, mm-hmm. five receivers. So, you know, you're looking at a player who to crack your starting lineup. Like, you don't want someone to crack your starting lineup because you were wrong. You want them to crack your starting lineup because they're awesome. So right. I guess that's why Kirk doesn't really appeal to me. But like Drake London, for example, is also here. That would be kind of more the direction I'd go.
That'd be set off some oohs and ahs, you know, in the draft room with the Drake. Drake London's ADP is 120, and obviously he's going much earlier than that in certain non-home leagues, probably in a lot of home leagues as well.
Are we considering Kenneth Walker at all? I think I have zero shares of Kenneth Walker.
I think it's too early for a guy's hurt. Kadarius Toney, by the way, also I think would be a high upside swing.
Well, how far off ADP are we going is the thing.
I think we got to reach here.
I don't think whatever pick we make right here, I don't think we going to be doing heel clicks over it right now because I'm thinking about putting Derek Carr with our Davante Adams right now. Like, that crossed my mind.
I'm all in on Captain Kirk in the Rams light system. And, you know, he already had an absurd TD to INT ratio, even with Mike Zimmer last year. Kirk seems to have entered a new phase of his career. He's got 2,000-yard receiver Justin Jefferson. I say we either take Kirk with our next pick, Justin Fields with two picks later. And I actually, before Crane mentioned it, I think we should take Drake London, just to be perfectly honest.
That's okay. Fun.
It's your pick, Pat.
Or Toney. The clock's winding. I just took Toney. He was top of the queue, and I just took Kadarius.
We just auto-picked Toney?
I auto-picked Toney. Last second, I panicked. Like, do I really want two Falcons?
That's what happens to happened to the Jaguars last year.
Yeah. I know. So seriously, big facts.
When they got sniped on Toney.
Toney, 125 ADP on Yahoo. That was pick 106. That was our biggest reach yet. But we're getting to that point in the draft where you kind of just got to go get the guys you want.
And he was top of the queue. We couldn't make a decision. And we took Kadarius Toney.
It we're simulating a real draft, so like a panic pick is good to have at least one in there.
This is
Lawrence. Lawrence. 111, pick 111.
Yeah, we're going to make it simple right here. You know, not the sexiest pick out there, but he was quarterback 11 last year. We expect him to do a little bit better this year. Kirk Cousins, man. Let's just go ahead and solidify
that.
Let's
actually do it. Yeah, I'm actually all about it.
Just solidify that and, you know, just see what happens. we will get another quarterback, you know, to, you know, switch him in and out. We'll do that if we need to.
So I actually like the Cousins pick, just to be honest. I do think he was already again, like, he kind of kicked it up a gear the past 2 years. And like, that was with a guy not interested in Kirk Cousins kicking it up a gear and Mike Zimmer. In fact, he was probably upset about it. And now you got the Sean McVay system coming to Minnesota. and you got, again, 2,000-yard receiver Justin Jefferson. So I'm totally okay taking Kirk Cousins.
So that was Cousins at pick 111 with an ADP of 117 on Yahoo. We have 10 picks down, 5 to go. First, we're going to take one more quick break. And this is just a reminder, if you don't have the NBC Sports Predictor app, go download it now. The contests are free and easy to play. And you have a shot to win thousands by predicting what will happen in Major League Baseball, NASCAR, Premier League, and more. And our Sunday Night Football contest, SN7, will return for the start of the NFL season. Download the app today for your chance to win big. All right. Final five rounds here. Pick 130. Karain, it's to you.
Well, what the listeners can't see, by the way, is Karain looking completely dead inside after we took Kirk Cousins. They can't see that. They can maybe hear it, actually. He is dead.
He was partially dead after the Rashad Penny discussion, and then
he is broken.
Finished him off.
I always love betting on passing efficiency from a mediocre quarterback.
He's broken. Like, I mean, Kirk Cousins, in terms of like old man, like old, like in terms of like old-fashioned box score counting stat efficiency, is still pretty efficient, actually.
I'm actually pretty in on this whole like Rams light thing. Like
the EPA is going to kick up big time.
It'll kick up. It wasn't. I think he was like 12th or 13th last year. He was fine.
He's been a stat man. He's a stat guy. He gets stats. That's what we want in fantasy. Stats. You get
That's
it.
True.
The EPA.
You know what
going
stats are fun
year,
though?
Karain.
Rushing stats. Rushing stats are really
listen,
fun.
Hey, listen, I'm with
position.
You, man. I'm with that.
Correct. He's actually running this year, Captain Kirk. He's been running a lot in camp. Yeah.
I don't know which one of y'all pick it is right now, but if you take Justin Fields right now, it's all good.
Well, that's why you guys saw me looking dead inside, because this is pick 130, and Justin Fields just got sniped 129.2. We almost had both, but we didn't get him. So now I'm crushed. We don't have any rushing upside at the quarterback position. Hopefully the Vikings are as fun as you guys think. I think they might be. I'm gonna pitch my guy Rashad White here.
I was gonna say Rashad White's the only one I see that like I actively want right now. You pitch
get that
him.
Running back 3 high upside play. Maybe he mixes in for us for a bye week, but I feel like we got our top two running backs covered as long as they stay healthy early in the season. And then White, I mean, if you think about a guy who can just emerge as a PPR machine, if anything were to happen to Fournette, even for a game or two, you know, he would just be the easiest start for us. So he's someone I think is really interesting from a contingent value perspective, but also maybe over the course of the season he earns a relevant role as well.
I'm all about it. I actually sign off completely on Rashad White because – I do think he's going to have an immediate standalone role. When you want reserve running backs, you want like both avenues. But you want standalone value and then a path to greater value. And I never take people like Alexander Mattison because they have no standalone value. Even if they're like a plug and play RB1, they don't have any standalone value. Whereas I feel like Rashad White, I just think the Bucs, they're tired of the inefficiency from Leonard Fournette in the passing game. And I think they're going to give Rashad White some runway. And then the path to more value is huge. But I do think Rashad White begins the season with standalone value.
It's interesting. I'm with that. I think Kenneth Gainwell really begins the season with some standalone value, too. That's just another name I looked on here and saw.
He'll be standing alone on the sidelines.
I don't know.
Gainwell had a really weird camp where it seems inconclusive if he actually beat out Boston.
And you know
Scott.
What, man? Boston Scott, like the RB1 out there now. So pretty much just take back everything I just said. Boston Scott.
No, I agree with it. I think Gainwell, because what? Sanders has a hamstring, right? So Gainwell.
He's resumed practicing finally. He has resumed practicing. Yeah.
Bro, once you get to week one,
we took Rashad White, to be clear.
Yeah, Rashad White.
We took Rashad White.
Rashad White, ADP 129.7. We took him at 130. It almost makes too much sense in this case. Pat Daugherty, quick turnaround to you. Pick 135. 4 picks to go.
Well, the ADP is looking really weird here, where it's like all kickers and defenses.
This is a spot where in any draft, right? Like, depending on where you're drafting, you got to be willing to go way further down to find the players you want. So let's just take players we want here because that's what...
Can we go up at all? We're actually, by the way, out of ADP. The ADP doesn't go any further than this. So
just name someone you like.
Let's think. Let's pull up my receiver rankings. I'm going to take someone from my receiver. Oh, no, I'll pull up the running back rankings, and let's just see what we got here, folks.
That is interesting. Weird. The ADP stops at 144.
Yeah.
Now, what is that? That's like 12 rounds?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's – I mean, gosh. Maybe. Crane, what are we doing here? I mean, is Jeff Wilson worth a pick? Is Sony Michel worth a pick, thinking he's going to have the goal line role? Like,
are we that far down? I feel like we're in the 13th round. We don't need to be taking Jeff Wilson, right?
We're pretty far in the 12th down round. Already. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, yeah, don't do I it. Was well. Khalil Herbert was at. He was
that, there. We go.
We could say Gainwell might have fallen too. I was thinking Khalil Herbert or Gainwell fell.
Yeah, especially Gainwell round 13. He ain't going much. Higher than that.
Yeah. It's a four-pick swing. We sniped ourselves on Justin Fields. I think it's fair to let his teammate fall a few spots from 131 to 135 if we want to go that route.
I mean, David Montgomery played 20 of 22 snaps with Justin Fields in the first team offense the other night. I'm kind of not sure about the narrative that Khalil Herbert will have standalone value. But I am sure about the narrative they're going to be a run-heavy team. And then when he played last year, he was quite good. And
let me throw a few receivers at you who are also in this range. You've got Rondale Moore with an ADP of 131. You've got Isaiah McKenzie, who apparently is hurt with an undisclosed injury, around 132. And you've got Nico Collins at 132.
Nico Collins caught my eye.
A fast improving Michael Gallup at 134.
I also thought about Crane. Is it too boomer to go Kenyon Drake, who I think is going to have an immediate early season role? I really do.
That feels a little early in the 12th round. What
is it really only the 12th round?
It's the 12th round. We are in the 12th round. Michael Carter typically available in the 12th round.
That's the easy pick right there.
Well, if Michael Carter's available, that's us. I feel like he's not available, though.
I actually took him in the 10th round last night, so... That
Tyler Algier?
We're cheating and taking Michael Carter, actually.
Let's cheat and take Michael Carter.
Yeah, I'm about to say.
Let's cheat and take Michael Carter. Because, I mean, I think his ADP, I don't know. His ADP is usually around, like, I feel like 110.
Take Michael Carter. He goes. Because, didn't we take Drake London?
We did.
We did, yeah.
Carter's not going after Rashad White either, I feel like.
He is an underdog, I think.
Underdog's not real life.
That's true. What about Tyler Algier? He gets load up on the Falcons this year.
I don't know about the Falcons, number 8 running back. But
Michael Carter, Yahoo ADP is 123. I'm not going to allow jumping up 12 spots. Too far.
No, he fell. He actually did fall. Never mind. We're taking Michael Carter. Yeah.
I will say this. Tyler Algier, after the – I don't know who they brought back to the team, but when they made the initial cuts to 53, the Falcons only carried 3 backs, and Algier was one of them along with Daryl Patterson and Damian Williams. And he did get run – with that first team offense with Mariota, who is still available as well.
We couldn't sell you on Khalil Herbert. What about Zamir White? Another guy.
I'd much rather have Khalil Herbert. Can we take him or not?
Judges,
Khalil Herbert, I think, is in range. I got to double check. Yes.
Just take Khalil Herbert. He'll carve out a standalone role, even if he doesn't have it to begin the season, and massive, massive, massive insurance back value.
Khalil Herbert is at 131, essentially.
All right, I hit him. We timed out, actually, again.
Okay, so that was pick 135. We got Khalil Herbert. 3 picks left, 1 for each of you. Lawrence, it's pick 154. All bets are off.
We only have 2 picks left, I thought.
No, you're picking at 178.
No, you have to pick again, Pat.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we want to see how that goes.
That was not your last pick.
So, Lawrence, we're kind of past the... We're almost past the Yahoo ADP range here in terms of.
So that's what it's making it confusing. Is we are past the ADP of Yahoo.
I'd get a second tight end here, and like Njoku. Even though I don't, I loved him a lot this whole offseason. Love him a little less now, just because, the quarterback situation. But again, we got Kyle Pitts as the as our top tight end. So really, we're down to our last two picks or whatever. So what, to have a big athletic, fast guy like that as the second tight end and throw him in there for 1 week when Kyle Pitts is on his bye, I would go with Njoku. That's just right off the dome.
I'm dead inside.
The Njoku, I like that as a second pick, because second tight end pick, because first of all, we have Kyle Pitts, so we're not like really interested in kind of like okay, you could take Tyler Higbee or something, who's definitely got a every route role with the Rams, but Tyler Higbee's not very good. We know that.
I like Robert Tonyan too.
That's an interesting one too, because yeah,
I was gonna say Big Bob Tutty is what I was gonna say.
But with Njoku, we do at least get to see in week one, like, does he have a full-time role with the Browns? Because if he does, I think he's really interesting. And if he doesn't, we just cut him and move on.
Mm-hmm. That's actually fine. Yeah, take him.
We'll take it. Pick 159, two to go. Karain, any later round targets here?
So two guys here I think are kind of interesting. They're both early down running backs. But I mentioned Zamir White. He's still here, guys. It's two rounds later. What do you think about him here? It's pretty interesting. You know, I think there's not much more a team could do to show that they're not interested in a running back than the Raiders have done with Josh Jacobs. I suppose they could have cut him like they did to the other first-round picks of the previous regime. But,
right,
you know, it's not looking great for Josh Jacobs. And Zamir White had not the best college career, but he's the number one running back recruit in the nation. Tears the ACL of both knees before he plays a college snap, and then he had a really strong combine. So I do wonder if, like, maybe the college profile is kind of something you throw out, especially because he really seems to have impressed the coaches in his first training camp. So kind of a high upside swing, get to see what we have in a running back early in the season. And then another guy, not really in that mold because he's 30 years old, but Raheem Mostert, we get a sense as how big is his role.
I'm pretty interested.
There it is right there.
I would say take Raheem Mostert because, I mean, it definitely a vote of confidence for Raheem Mostert when they cut Sonny Michel. I mean, it is interesting when you know a guy that is like, he's just a change of pace back. Like, they're going to want him. That's like the definition of what he does. He comes in and changes the pace with his, like, blurring speed. But you want a guy who can, like, win a week on only, like, 8 or 10 touches, because of 8 or 10 of those touches, of 2 or 3 of them are, like, explosive runs. Like, that can flip a matchup. So I actually like Raheem Mostert a lot there.
Fire him up.
Let's go. Mostert, I like how Karain gave a long sales pitch for Zamir White, and then was like, that's Raheem Mostert. And everyone's like, yes!
Mostert! Yeah,
right. It's like, whoa, okay, whoa, well, thank you.
I've actually been trying to sell a number of people on Zamir White, and I get crickets every time, so I'm used to it.
I'm interested. I
Brandon Bolden season.
I just don't understand, yeah, how everyone how it works out. Like, how is their path to enough touches there?
Yeah, it's definitely ambiguous, but I feel like if you're betting on ambiguous backfields, I mean, typically it's been a high-value backfield, Josh McDaniels' backfield. The offensive line's no good, so maybe this one won't be, but, you know, you take the cheap guy, and you take a guy who might be really talented. It's like, the reason Zamir White's going where he's going is because we don't know if he's any good. But, like, I'm pretty sure Josh Jacobs isn't that good. He's not going to consolidate it. So let me dive into the uncertainty at a cheap price.
Let me ask you guys this before we make our last pick here. Speaking of uncertain backfields, where are we at on Isaiah Pacheco at this point? You know, at one point he was going really, you know, relatively high in drafts. Now I want to quickly go around the room. What do you guys think? I mean, is he – what's his situation right now? Do we know? Do we have any clarity?
I was I was never hopping hard on the Walter Payton Pacheco bandwagon like that. Some people even thought he was going to start. He ain't starting. You know, he'll be a nice little he going to run – do the kickoff returns for him. He'll be a nice little kick returner. And I don't know, maybe get 3-4 touches a game. Maybe, like, Jared McKinnon is solid right there. And remember, they still got Rojo. Like, they still got Rojo. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, that was a hammer blow to Pacheco, who was basically in, like, hand-to-hand combat with Rojo and needed to knock Rojo off the roster, and he didn't.
And he did not do it.
Now, I think Rojo will be a healthy scratch to begin the year because – Pacheco is the kick returner, and they kind of don't need both guys every week, but it certainly hurts Pacheco's contingent value. Like if CEH were to miss time, Rojo's active.
There you go.
So it's always going to be a three-way split. Mm-hmm. And CEH was getting the short yardage work in preseason, and McKinnon was getting the receiving down work. So that leaves Pacheco with a lot of low-value touches. He didn't really look that good to me in preseason, and his production profile is really bad. He's fast, and he's got decent size, but I don't know. I've been skeptical this whole time, and I agree. Especially the contingent value part of this is hurt by him still having to compete with Rojo.
His athletic and production, especially his production profile, is never that. It was just more like maybe as a young player who's turned the corner with Chiefs coaching. Maybe he's just being coached up and it's going to be a different player. But yeah, he had to knock Ronald Jones off the roster.
I'll draft Raheem Mostert before Isaiah Pacheco.
Would for sure. All of
McKinnon
what about
more?
And McKinnon. I was going to ask you, would you rather have McKinnon?
Yeah,
I have a ton of McKinnon.
Easy money.
Especially
McKinnon, last question. McKinnon or Zamir White?
Easily McKinnon because we've at least seen McKinnon produce in the end. And the biggest games of the year, they trusted him as their third down back, the Chiefs. Yeah. Zamir White, I feel like we don't have a true handle on what in the world the Raiders are going to do with their running back group. I just don't think we do.
They're different bets, though. Like McKinnon, I've kind of taken some big cracks early on, and maybe I didn't go, running back super early, and, I don't feel great about my RB2 spot, then McKinnon could really, really help you out. But Zamir White, it's like if you're looking for upside, I think Zamir White's probably got a higher ceiling, especially down the stretch if he can consolidate the rushing role.
Zamir White was drafted by Josh McDaniels. He fits his running scheme. He fits that gap running scheme, which when you look at Zamir White, well, look at Damian Harris there. That's why they have him. So he definitely got some type of future right there.
All right. I was trying to buy Pat Daugherty time to make his 178th pick. Pat, last pick. You got a name for us? Do you have a name?
Well, so we're taking skill players, right?
Yeah.
And real drafts.
Yeah.
We're at one. I don't know what's going on with this ADP here. It kind of peters out at the end. I mean, normally you can still. This is not in like really competitive leagues, but this is still kind of Josh Palmer and Nico Collins zone and a lot of these home league drafts. I don't know what's going on with this ADP here at the very end. I mean, do I have to go off the same ADP list we've been using or am I allowed to expand my mind?
I switched out. Yeah.
I think
I went elsewhere.
I think we got to switch out and I'll say Paris Campbell is someone I would always consider my final pick. He's been getting positive press again lately. Wandale Robinson is someone essentially without an ADP in normie leagues. Mm-hmm. No offense to the normie leagues. I'm in a bunch of
Paris. Them. So Paris Campbell or Wandale, do you have a which way we're going? Which way are we leaning?
Probably Wandale just because the Giants seem really open to him claiming a role. Kenny Galladay seems to be a failed state. Sterling Shepard is always injury prone, coming off a major injury. Darius Slayton barely made the roster. I've been interested in Paris Campbell, but he's been getting a lot of positive press, but it's still mostly Paris Campbell is healthy. It's not that he's I wanted it to be more like he claimed this role. Yeah. And I guess he did claim the role, but everything's more about being happy that he's healthy and not necessarily that he's taking and running.
Hey, sometimes that's all you need. That's all you need sometimes.
I say we take Wandale Robinson.
All right. We already did it. I already wrote it down.
All right. I like that because we're betting against Galladay and we got Tony and Wandale.
Yeah, so there you go. Love we got it. The only two Giants receivers who matter. And if Tony gets a hangnail and misses a bunch of games, Wandale's there. So
we didn't take Daniel Jones Lawrence.
Dang,
We didn't do it. All right, we're going to quickly reset the roster here. We went Devontae Adams 10th, DeAndre Swift 15th, Kyle Pitts 34th, DJ Moore 39th, Jerry Jeudy 58th, Gabe Davis 63rd, Rashad Bateman 82nd, Ramondre Stevenson 87th. Kadarius Toney at 106, Kirk Cousins at 111, Rashad White 130, Khalil Herbert 135, David Njoku 154, Raheem Mostert 159, Wandale Robinson at 178. That is the 15-man fantasy squad. Guys, before we go, Anything? Well, no, quickly. Pat, I know you got to go. 20 seconds, everyone, on the roster. Are you guys happy with it? How do we do?
You mean we receivers are just like receivers are everything. And we hit the receivers just out of the friggin' park, basically. And I loved having the receiver heavy build, but still getting like the legendary potential upside of Kyle Pitts. I don't love Captain Kirk. I wish even though I stumped for Captain Kirk, I don't know. It just feels like a weak spot. Yeah, it feels like kind of a weak spot. And
my energy has clearly influenced you.
We might have needed one more. We could have gone one more running back. The Rashad Bateman spot, I feel like we could have maybe gone a running back. I'll just be honest.
Or that Gabe Davis.
More like
spot,
truly guaranteed touches at running back. We lack guaranteed touches at running back, is what I'll say.
Especially if you know you're going to be able to get wide receiver values later. Then I think we're fine at running back. This is one of the best running back squads that I personally
by your standards, this is robust. Also,
this is robust. We went real robust here. what are we talking about? No, a quarterback is our weakness. Quarterback. I mean, if you know you're going to be able to get value later, and like, you know, maybe you're in the type of league where.
Crane, to interrupt you. I've drafted in a bunch of leagues like this. And the quarterbacks really do just fly off the board. Like, if you're in any league, like, with your mates, the quarterbacks are going to fly off. They just do fly off the board. They really do.
But, like, guys that we talked about here might not really be going even this early. You know, like, maybe White falls a little bit or Damian Pierce isn't as high. Or, you know, or there's particular values at wide receiver with, you know, Bateman getting super late in this ADP, whatever. Use that to your advantage and pivot and take an elite quarterback. I think that's probably the thing that keeps us from being a real perfect team.
Yeah, so I say, you know, the fantasy football regular season is 14 weeks. I think we got a nice little 5-9 squad right here.
No, this feels like a 10-4 squad to me. It really is.
10-4 squad, okay, yeah. Okay.
We'll make a trade for a quarterback.
Quarterback will easily – we can play matchups if we really need to. Guaranteed running back touches off the waiver wire within the first 2 to 3 weeks, depending on what injuries pop up.
Like, do you see the guy from the four hole? He took four quarterbacks. Desperate to trade one. We're fine.
Just waiting.
Trevor. He does that every year.
Trevor does that every year.
It's a really great home league trope.
He also took T.Y. Hilton in the fifth. That was crazy. Yeah. weird draft.
He just offered us Kyler Murray for DeAndre Swift. We're gonna have to negotiate.
All right. We'll get online with Trevor after this and hash something out. Before we go, fellas, anything you want to mention coming up on the site or the podcast?
Check out my last-minute rankings, which were posted on Thursday. And, of course, check out our draft guide ahead of this final weekend of drafting.
I'm about to publish the walkthrough, week one, which you'll have plenty of time to read before we actually have football. It's a beast, but there's a lot of good stuff in there. Check it out.
Tomorrow I'll be publishing an article about a 12-man mock draft I did with other fantasy experts. So, you know, that'll be closest, you know, since this is probably the last weekend of drafting, it'll give readers, you know, a chance to like lock in and see where everybody's going right now, because a lot of things have changed in the past month, even weeks, really. So be on the lookout for that.
All right, that'll do it for us. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, wherever you listen. Take a second to rate and review us as well. Want to say thanks to everyone for listening on the podcast and watching live with us. Pat, Lawrence, Corain, thanks to all of you guys. We'll talk to you soon.